Hello and welcome to our program. Today we begin a new series in the book of Malachi, a little book with a big message. Stay tuned. We don't have much information about the man Malachi. We know that his name means my messenger, and it is the last message that the people of God are going to have for 400 years. In previous studies, we've seen that a remnant returned from bondage in Persia, and they established the temple there in Jerusalem, and then Nehemiah came and he helped with the walls, got the walls built up. And they had a great revival, we saw in Nehemiah chapter 8. However, it wasn't very long before apathy set in, and apathy is the glide path to apostasy. Well, as we get into this situation, they are very apathetic, and apostasy has set in, and that is when Malachi comes on the scene. Now, he says in chapter 1 and verse 1 of the book of Malachi, we read the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Now, when we see the word burden here, it refers to that to which the soul lifts itself up. And the soul consists of the mind, the will, and the emotions. And so we have Malachi. He was a man who was here in the world at that time. We don't know much about him, except, as we have said, his name means my messenger. And he has a burden in his soul, in his mind, in his will, in his emotions concerning the things of the Lord, it says here in verse number 1. And so he comes to Israel, God does, through Malachi, his messenger. The thing is, will they be willing to listen? Will they be willing to obey? It's not a message from Malachi. It is from the Lord, it says here in verse number 1. Malachi, he's just the delivery man. Are they willing to listen? Are they willing to obey? We might ask ourselves that same question today. Am I really willing to listen to what God has to say through his leadership today? Well, we see these people weren't. The first thing we find out in Malachi 1 and verse number 2 is that they were questioning the love of God. God said through Malachi, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Wherein hast thou loved us? Now, we don't see any evidence. This word wherein says, where's the evidence that you love us? The prophets, they had promised them all kinds of things that God was going to do. In fact, you will read in the prophets, in the writings that we have studied prior to this broadcast, you will read the phrase, I will, over 50 times in Haggai and in Zechariah. 50 times. Where is the promises that we have been given? These people have gotten a little worried about that. Where is the prosperity that God had promised them? Where are the miracles such as in the days of Elijah and Elisha, and how God proved his strength through Moses? God proved his love to the people through these things. And the temple, the prophets here said it would be filled with glory. There was more gloom than glory in the temple. And leadership, whatever happened to the kings? We used to have kings, and now if they survived at all, they're living in bondage. And so they are questioning the love of God because of the fact that they can't see the bigger picture. Well, we might think those people back there are not very smart. Would this happen in our age? Would Christians question the love of God today? Peter warned about that. He said in 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 13, you can read about it there. In verse number 3, he said, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Now, the last days there's going to be scoffers, and they're going to say in verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, who are these scoffers? I doubt very much if there's people in the hotels these days and in the bars talking about, scoffing about the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is church talk. It says here in verse number 4, where is the promise of his coming? Unsaved people aren't talking about that. That's what people in our local churches would be talking about. And if we're not careful, Peter's warning us, we could get just as discouraged as they did back in Malachi's day. Well, they say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now, it's not saying since our fathers fell asleep, the fathers, it's referring to, it is a metaphor of the Christian leadership that we used to have and say, oh yeah, we've heard this second coming stuff for 100 years. What's going on? Well, again, he's talking to Christians here, Peter is, and in verse 5 he says, for this they willingly are ignorant, it says here in verse 5. And then in verse 8 he says, but beloved, speaking to Christians, be not ignorant. He says in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Now we saw in verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? He said in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Then he said in verse 13, nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And now the Bible talks about a lot of promises. I've tried to figure out how many promises there are in the Bible. And you know, you can get anything off of Google these days. How many promises in the Bible? Well, you can turn to one site after another and they'll give you a different number. I took several numbers. I put them all together and took an average and came out with the average of 5,509 promises. Well, for sure, there's over 5,000 promises in the Bible. And the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Well, the people in Malachi's day, they thought the Lord was slack concerning his promises. And if we're not careful, we can have the same attitude today. Well, we'll look at God's response when his love was questioned. We read here in Malachi chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, God said, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Now here's a very interesting scripture here. He said, I loved Jacob, I hated Esau. Now you have the word hate or hated in the Bible 147 times. We have the word love or loved in the Bible 408 times. So what does it mean here when God said, I hated Esau? Well, first of all, whatever it means, we'd be very wise not to question God. He does things right. We read in Luke chapter 14, verse number 26, that Jesus said, if any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. He said again in Matthew 10 and 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, the hate factor here is simply a metaphor as a test of discipleship. He said, if any man come after me and hate not his father and mother and so on, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. It is a metaphor for the test of discipleship. Sometimes we use that word hate. We don't really hate. For instance, I hate raisin pie. If there's a raisin pie sitting on the counter and there's an apple pie sitting on the counter, I would say, I'll take a piece of the apple pie, please, if you don't mind. Now, I don't really hate raisin pie. I just don't like the taste of it. And Malachi was saying here simply that God chose Jacob, and Malachi was talking to Jacob's descendants. He's saying, God chose you people. We read in Romans 9, verses 13 and 14, Paul said, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Then he goes on in verse 4, and he says, whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I'll throw down, and they shall call them the borders of the wicked, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. Who is Edom? They are the descendants of Esau. And so we're looking here where God chose one over the other. God chose Jacob and blessed his descendants, and Esau he rejected. Well, then the Lord focuses here on the compromise of the leadership. We read in verses 6 and 7, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Now we're looking specifically here at the leadership. And so the leadership, the priests, it says here in verse number 6, they are saying, wherein have we despised thy name? Wherein have we polluted thee? Where is the evidence of this? Now, the priests are responsible for the compromise that was going on when Malachi came on the scene. The privilege of leadership brings responsibility. Responsibility is the state or fact of having the God-given duty to deal with something or of having authority over someone. Let me repeat that again. When we have responsibility of God, it has to do with dealing with things and having authority over people. The state or fact of having a God-given accountability or blame is also part of the responsibility. And who's to blame here? The priests, the leadership, was to blame, and they were accountable to God. Now, in Luke chapter 12, verse number 48, Jesus said, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much, of them they will ask the more. James put it this way in James 3 and 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. That word condemnation has been translated judgment 13 times. And so we have seen that the word Malachi means my messenger. He came with a message that people really didn't want to hear. Things had changed. There was a great revival under Nehemiah, but pretty soon apathy set in, and apathy is a glide path to apostasy. Apathy is simply a loss of interest, but apostasy is when people turn from God to religious activity. Well, Malachi, it says in verse 1, was burdened. We said that is a burden is to that to which the soul lifts itself up, the mind, the will, and the emotions. Malachi felt like he had to do something about this. His message to the people, they were questioning God's love because they didn't like the circumstances around them. His message to the priests, they were causing the name of Christ to be despised. Well, the priests represent leadership, and we have different leadership today. We have pastors, we have parents. In fact, everyone is a leader to some extent. We all are influencing somebody every day. Let us be sure that we are not causing the name of Christ to be despised.